Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello and welcome to Nerd Party News, the show on the Nerd Party where we talk about the news. I'm Mike.
I'm Lance.
And today it is June 27th, a Sunday, 9:14 p.m. Central Time. Mm-hmm. And yeah, a lot of stuff came out this week. I don't know about you, but I watched a lot of stuff. But I guess to start, did you watch The Bachelor?
I sure did. And the drama's ramping up. Thankfully for me, the motivational speaker was not given a rose at the rose ceremony at the beginning of the episode, so he's gone. So this is not a Victoria situation where, you know, they like somebody annoying sticks around for too long. It's like, good, we got that guy off, because I didn't like him from the second I saw him on screen in the intros in the premiere episode. So that's good. Unfortunately, there's another guy that's kind of, you know, he's kind of a jerk, and like he's like basically kind of not there for the right reasons. He admitted that he's only there to, you know, possibly be the next Bachelor. Like, he's just kind of a clout chaser. So hopefully he's gone pretty soon. And then I think, so this apparently does have to be a thing on the show where they bring in somebody who from the previous season or a previous season, like in the middle of this process. And he's just like, and they're just like, hey, I'm going to be a contestant now. And it pisses off the rest of the group because they've been there from the beginning. And that's going to happen again at this during this season. I'm just like, well, I'm already tired of that. That's old. Like, yeah. That's so dumb and so forced. And it's the you could tell that's the unreality of this reality show really seeping in with that. It's just like, that's so dumb. And especially considering that the person that they're bringing in is just a loser. So because I remember him from Tayshia's season. It's just like, nah. The drama's high as usual. I don't know if there's a favorite yet for Katie. Unlike with the previous season where you can kind of tell like who the favorites were pretty early. Unfortunately, I don't really know a lot of these dudes' names because I don't like a lot of them. But I have come up with nicknames for several of them. So, and that'll kind of help. So there is Hockey Guy because he's a hockey player. That one's a pretty obvious one. There is Jay Gatsby, because in his first appearance, he kind of looked like he was wearing like a Gatsby suit. And one of the other dudes called him Gatsby. And I was just like, good for you. I like you. And there's Daredevil, because the guy looks like Charlie Cox. I like him. Mm-hmm. He seems he's pretty cool. There's Catman, because this dude legit wore a cat suit to the premiere because he found out that Katie has a cat, and so he figured that he could make a good first impression by wearing a cat costume.
Okay. Well, he's a choice.
It's a bad choice in my opinion. That guy's definitely trying way too hard on that. And then what's another nickname that I've used? Oh, there's there's the Duke. Because there's this one brother on there that in the cast that he looks like a wannabe reggae Jean Page, so I call him the Duke. And then there's A Different World, because this one dude looks like he was one of the characters on A Different World.
Does he have like the flip up sunglasses thing?
No, he's not like he's not Dwayne Wayne. Okay. He's one of like he was like a minor character in the later seasons. His character dated Jada Pinkett Smith in one of her seasons.
Oh, okay, all right, well, that's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, be sure to keep us posted. You know, I mean, you've been watching The Bachelorette. I have not been reading DC Comics, but I need to get back on that. I will get back on that. Mm. So I'm sorry, everybody. I think I'm on a Nightwing run. So
cool.
Next week, definitely. Okay. We'll talk about that. But did you see anything else this week
that was noteworthy? Yeah, the most recent episode of Superman Lois. Probably the best episode of the season. It was a heavy flashback episode, and it was basically the episode. A lot of it was what I thought the show would be, which was Clark in the early days of his time in Metropolis as Clark and Superman, and him and Lois, you know, balancing that whole thing out. That's what I kind of thought it would be before I found out that there was going to be like, you know, they were going to be parents, they're going to be older, that type of deal. But this episode was great. Some of the, you know, best Superman content that we've gotten in modern, more modern times, right? Like, it's like, this is it. That was really good stuff. So it was a really good episode. I was very, very pleased while watching it.
Okay. All right, cool.
How about you?
I mean, I'm still on, you know, Arrowverse. I'm still working through that, but I haven't watched any. But I did watch a new DC movie this week.
Okay.
I watched Teen Titans Go! See Space Jam. And it was pretty good. I'm glad because, you know, I mean, I watched Space Jam last year. Like, mm-hmm. after Last Dance, I did a double feature of Space Jam and Double Team. Mm-hmm. That was my big thing. That was what I wanted to do, and it worked out well. But, you know, I have to say, Space Jam is a movie which I don't feel the need to watch repeatedly.
Again?
Mm-hmm. I've seen it like 3 times in my life,
okay.
and that's just about enough.
Okay.
So with the new one coming out, I'm like, I should revisit this, but I don't really want to.
Mm-hmm.
But Teen Titans Go! See Space Jam is pretty much the best possible way to revisit that movie, because it's essentially the Teen Titans doing an MST3K riff on Space Jam.
And like I thought it would be. That's awesome.
And it works really well. And there's some weird things, like, does it take place in the same continuity? I don't know. Like, Cyborg is, like, a huge fan. None of the rest of them have seen the movie or know anything about it. There's some really good stuff, like, you know, why is this guy famous? Oh, because he sells shoes. You know, like, things like that, you know. There's some stuff that they did with, like, the Bill Murray stuff is, like, really good. You know, like when he leaves, they're like, and there goes the best part of this movie. God bless you, Bill Murray. You're a national treasure. You know, like, things like that. And, you know, it was a great way to revisit the movie. And it also pointing out like a lot of like the ridiculous stuff, like the idea that the basketball game in Space Jam doesn't take place in space.
In space, yeah.
Yeah, you know, things like that. So definitely check it out. I know it just aired on Cartoon Network, and I think is airing a bunch more. I was able to find it on demand through the YouTube TV thingy.
Cool.
So, you know, I mean, check it out. Well worth it. Way better than Space Jam itself. So, yeah.
It's good. Okay.
Good times. Good times.
Cool. It's funny you mentioned Bill Murray, because Bill Murray has my favorite line in Space Jam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is...
when he's like, Larry's not white, Larry's clear.
That's good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they talk about, like, in that scene, they're like, why is there a golfing scene in this movie? Like, mm-hmm. Golfing is super boring. And they're like, oh, they needed something to balance out all of the other scenes in this movie, which are super exciting. So, you know, yep.
That's
so
funny.
Anyway, it was good. So check it out. But it wasn't the best thing that I saw this week. I mean, the best thing that I saw this week was, of course, F9.
Nice.
Yeah. If you're a fan of Fast and Furious, I think you will like it quite a bit. It is kind of a return to form.
Okay. I heard.
Yeah, they do a really good job of like weaving in like some origin story stuff and everything like that. Tying it back to like some like throwaway almost lines from, you know, earlier movies, the first movie in some cases, you know.
Oh, wow.
and really kind of like making it all fit together rather well. You know, I mean, there's some stuff in there which, you know, at the end it gets a little weird in terms of, you know, like people jumping from car to car, you know, and all that stuff. I mean, of course, the franchise has always had all of that. But mm-hmm. this, you know, at some points it's just like, okay, now we're just not even pretending, like, you know, like, you know, someone jumps a car between two buildings and there's at least that moment of like, oh my God, I can't believe they did that. I can't believe that worked. Whereas here, they're literally like, well, this is part of the strategy, is we're just going to be hopping from car to car, you know, and it's like, no, you can't, that doesn't work that way. You've got to have, if you're going to do that, that's fine, but you've got to have that moment of like, I don't believe it, you know, yeah. I don't believe that worked. And that,
I can't believe what I just saw.
Right. And that was kind of missing from this, you know, towards the end, but, you know, great job of sort of like taking all of the stuff that's come before and tying it all together like they always do, you know, and yeah, it was great. It was okay. A lot of fun for sure.
So, good.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, I guess the big news this week is undoubtedly, to me anyway, the announcement that they've started filming the new Transformers movie entitled Transformers Rise of the Beasts.
Hell yeah.
It's going to be a Beast Wars movie set in the 90s.
Even better.
It's going to be the same continuity. Optimus Prime will be there. But he's going to be G1 Optimus Prime, and it will also feature Optimus Primal and various other, you know, Transformers, Predacons, Maximals, Terrorcons, you know, all the rest of it. So, yeah, I mean, as was previously announced, this is directed by Stephen Caple Jr., who did Creed 2, which I thought was really good.
It was.
Yeah. And it stars Anthony Ramos from In the Heights.
Okay.
And Dominique Fishback from Judas and the Black Messiah.
Okay.
So, yeah. What do you think about this?
I'm here for it. Like, this is, I think, the right move for this franchise to go into, because I think they've exhausted everything from the other Transformer side of things, right? So why not like utilize some other things that they have in their arsenal, which are, you know, Beast Wars. And with this, I think they need to play to their strengths, right? Give me all the flash and not, and don't try to overdo the substance. Like we don't want, like we don't care for, whatever type of, you know, story that you want to come up with in this. We want to see the robots fighting, you know, other robots, and we want to see, you know, beasts transforming into things and fighting things. That's what we want, right? So stick to that. Give the people what they want.
You know, I get that, but at the same time, I think one of the big problems with the other movies is that they don't know when to say when. And I mean, like, Michael Bay has flat out said, like, you know, I want to give people everything. So if I have 17 set pieces, I want to give them 17 set pieces. And it's like, well, you do that, but then your movie becomes 2 hours and 45 minutes long. And at some point you're like, I can only watch robots punch each other so many times.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I think the model here should be the first Transformers movie. Right, because that's the right amount of humans doing stuff, and then the right amount of them getting out of the way so the robots can do stuff, and that's what this needs.
Yeah, that's pretty close. I mean, what did you think of Bumblebee?
It was pretty good.
Pretty good. So you don't think it's as good as the first Transformers movie?
No.
Okay, you're wrong. it's clearly the best Transformers movie that was not starring Judd Hirsch. Judd Nelson. Although, hey, if Judd Hirsch starred in a Transformers movie, that'd be pretty epic too. But yeah, I don't know. I have a feeling that it's going to be better than the Michael Bay movies, just because it's not going to have that Michael Bay insanity. Like, there is the ability to step back a little bit. And I think part of it was not Bay's fault. You know, like, from what I understand, like, the idea of animating, like, G1-styled robots was basically just not possible back in 2007 or whatever it was. And now you can. So they do, you know, and that's great, because now you can actually tell what's going on. You know, I don't know. But yeah, setting in the 90s, I think, is interesting, especially since, like, now I didn't watch Beast Machines. I hear it's crazy and good and everything like that, and they go to some weird places which are super insane. But you know, I did watch Beast Wars when it was on, and because like the idea of robots transforming into animals is kind of a ridiculous thing, right? Like, what's the story reason for that?
This whole thing is a ridiculous
thing. Yeah, I know.
But you got to be able to sell it.
You know, what's the story reason for that? And the story reason that they came up with in Beast Wars, I thought was pretty good, which is like, there's a weird radiation which is affecting these robots, and they need to stay as animals in order to not be destroyed. You know, not be, you know?
Cool.
So
do that here.
Okay, I guess you could still do that in the 90s, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Their technology is greater than ours. They'll figure it out. Like, you don't need to, like that's just, it is what it is. Like, we've dealt with, like, you know, other, you know, aliens and other, you know, things in this type of, you know, genre having better technology than us at whatever time period it is, just because. And that's all the explanation that we've ever really needed.
Okay. It is interesting that they have Optimus Primal in here as well as Optimus Prime, because I always thought that, essentially, in the sort of reboot continuity that Beast Wars was, mm-hmm. like, Optimus Primal is Optimus Prime.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be interesting. I don't know how they're going to pull that off.
Also, was his name Optimus Primal before he came to Earth? Because that's weird.
That is a little weird. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But we shall see. But again, I'm not in it for the details. I'm in it for the Flash.
Okay.
Not much not much substance. Give me more Flash over substance in this case.
Fair enough. All right, so some other stuff that's in the works. Tower of Terror. They're making a new Tower of Terror movie, which is going to be produced and starring Scarlett Johansson.
Hmm.
I mean, I guess you know, Disney, you know, they found their, like, you know, Disney rides are the new whatevers, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean, Jungle Cruise.
Yeah.
Tower of Terror.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, like, you know, the Tower of Terror isn't there anymore, right? It's a Guardians ride.
It's still in Disney World.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So that's good. Okay. That's good. Maybe this will keep it around for a little while longer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
okay.
Of course, this isn't the first Tower of Terror movie.
No.
There was a TV movie starring Steve Guttenberg and a very young Kirsten Dunst.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that?
I think I have.
Yeah.
I think I have.
Didn't
leave an impression.
So here's my question, okay? And this is something which always bothers me, and something which I want, whatever. So Tower of Terror is a Twilight Zone ride, right? Mm-hmm. Does that mean the Tower of Terror movie takes place in Twilight Zone continuity?
Ooh,
because you could do wrinkle. That. It's an anthology, right? So, yeah. I mean, how is it different from any of that other stuff?
That would be really cool. And that would be a nice... Maybe that's why ScarJo signed on for it.
Maybe, but Twilight Zone is Paramount, I think, and you know, Disney. They're not going
to... Yeah.
It's weird. How do you make that distinction? It's so weird. I mean, it is so weird that they're like... We're going to carve out this ride, but this ride is a property that for another thing that makes it's so bizarre. But
yeah, I got to look at the contract a little harder on that one. Look at the fine print.
But I'll still watch it for sure. You know, because why not?
Okay.
Disney. You looking forward to Jungle Cruise?
Not particularly.
Okay. There's a few other trailers for upcoming movies, which may or may not be good. First one that came out was The Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
See the new trailer for that?
I sure did.
Focused on Bloodsport. Bloodshot?
Yes.
Bloodsport. Bloodsport.
Yeah. Shot. Sport. I don't know, one of those two.
Yeah. I just remember him. He was in one Superman story from back when, like right after Superman came back to life.
Mm-hmm.
And they reference that here. I mean, I thought that was pretty cool.
They reference his actual, you know, thing in there. Yeah. And because there's a whole uproar on the internet about it. And there were some funny memes that kind of came about it. But, and, you know, in the discourse went the usual direction. But it's like, no, like it's what they were talking about. It was comic accurate. But it's in watching the trailer, though, it's very evident that, you know, Idris is the Will Smith of this movie. And he has a daughter just like Will Smith did. And he's doing this to protect slash save his daughter just like Will Smith did. And so, like, again, my question is, what are we doing here? Like, are we making the same movie? Because if we are, I'm going to go scorch earth after that thing comes out, especially if it's the same freaking thing.
Okay, no. See, here's the thing, right? Like, it's not like they were like, oh, that idea was so great, let's do it again. What happened was,
you can't put it past DC to do that, because they think like that.
You're thinking of it as DC doing this, but it's James Gunn, okay? It's James Gunn which is doing this, and I'm sure what James Gunn did, and I think it's documented that this is what happened, was he's like, well, obviously, I'm going to put Will Smith in my Suicide Squad movie, because why wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. And Will Smith is like, oh, I'm going to be busy shooting this thing. I forget what he was shooting. Something else that was big. And they're like, oh, we can't get Will Smith. And then at first they were like, well, we're going to recast him. And then they were like, no. That's, you know, disrespectful. Let's not recast him. Let's just rewrite that part for another character. So it's very much, I mean, going back to Fast and Furious, it's Too Fast, Too Furious, when clearly the Tyrese role was supposed to be Vin Diesel.
Yes.
And they couldn't get Vin Diesel, so they changed the character and made him Tyrese. Which is mind blowing, because now they're both there, and they're, you know, he's become his own thing, and it's amazing. So, you know, maybe in Suicide Squad 3, we'll get both Will Smith and Idris Elba.
Well, actually, here's the thing. So my question to you then is, if this is a Too Fast, Too Furious situation, right?
It is 100%.
Okay. So if it's a Too Fast, Too Furious situation, you know what my next question is? How did that work out for them?
You're talking about Too Fast, Too Furious?
Yes.
I mean, Too Fast, Too Furious is clearly better than the first one, and clearly one of the best movies ever made. I mean, I don't know if you've seen it. Too Fast, Too Furious.
It is not better than the first one.
Oh, it's way better than the first one.
It's not better than the first one. Come on now.
It is.
It has one of my favorite things in there, though, which is, you know, forget about it, because.
There you go. That
is hilarious. That's absolutely hilarious. But that movie is not better than the first one.
It's so good.
Now, and speaking of that, if this is a Fast and Furious situation, and like they end up getting the both of them, well, that we're not going to see the both of them in the third one, because it's going to be like they're going to have like Suicide Squad Tokyo Drift. Like,
oh my God, don't tease me. Yeah, I mean, that sounds amazing. I mean, yeah, I don't know. This is all good news. But I mean, here's the thing. Here's the thing, right? I mean, like, regardless. Okay, so it's one of those movie things where you're like, oh, yeah, clearly they rewrote it. Like Speed 2 Cruise Control.
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, so she's dating another cop.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like, this does not compute, you know?
Yeah, well, see, this is where, like, in-game adjustments need to come in. It's like, if you just need to adjust, right? Like, you don't need to rehash something or do something like that, because that's lame. And that's kind of what I see going on here. That's why, like, my first thought was, like, are they making the same, are they going to do the same story beats in this movie? No. Like, because if so, what are we doing? Like, apparently you're better than this, James Gunn. So let's go. Bring your A game.
He's going to bring his A game.
He's
established himself as a quality filmmaker, especially of comic book movies. You know, this is going to be great.
Okay.
I am boggled by your resistance to this movie. Like, I mean, I seriously, like, this. I don't get it. I don't get it. Why you're just like hating on this movie so much?
it's a cumulative thing, right? I've been burned too much by that studio and this particular comic book publisher when it comes to their properties on film that I have zero faith. And I don't care that James Gunn is involved, right? Like, there's, like, you know, good people were involved in the other things, allegedly, and it didn't work, right? And, like, and they made bad decisions, and in some of them, some cases, made bad products, right? Like Wonder Woman was my favorite movie of the, is my favorite movie of the DCEU. And then, like, you know, Wonder Woman 84 is like, great, Patty's in control, baby. Guess what happened? Wonder Woman 84 is awful, right? And it had good people working on it. So it, like, so I know it happens, but the thing is, like, it happens all of the time. And it, like, and if it happens all of the time and their pattern is all of the time they make bad stuff, then what am I supposed to, like, think or think on the matter? I'm not going to just be happy because, oh great, DC made a movie, so let's get excited just because they're making the thing. It's like, no, you still have to make good stuff.
I'm not saying that you should get excited just because they're making the thing, but I mean when they're saying, like, well, you know, this really, really good filmmaker is making the thing, then it's time to get excited. And sometimes you get burned. Sometimes you get Wonder Woman 84.
Look, but man, I've been burned too many times, man. I'm like, I have recoil. I'm not going to put my hand on that stove.
I'm
like,
just saying,
I'm not going to do it.
Sometimes you get The Dark Knight, you know?
Yeah, The Dark Knight was a long time ago, bro.
It wasn't that long ago. I mean, come on.
In the course of, like, what's come out, it's a long time ago.
Okay.
Lots of things have happened since The Dark Knight.
All right. So, okay, let's take a look at a lot of those things have been good. A lot of those things have been good. So, okay, let's take a look at some of these other trailers. There's a new Shang-Chi trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see this one?
I did. I like the first one better.
Yeah, the first one was, like, just kind of, like, stylized and, you know, I think really kind of, like, spoke to, like, what this movie is going to feel like, whereas this one was more about, like, what the story is. And it's like, it's,
yeah, and I think they gave away some things that they could have just chosen to not do, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we could have been fine on the strength of that first trailer, honestly.
Yeah, and it seems less like this more. One came, like, really quick on the heels of that, you know? But
it did.
Whatever, I guess there's just movies to attach trailers to, so, you know,
essentially,
kind of what trailers are out there for. So another trailer, which maybe ended up on the internet a little earlier than they had initially planned, was Halloween Kills. Mm-hmm. You see the trailer for this?
I did. And I started laughing when I watched it because I see Jamie Lee Curtis in the back of that ambulance going, like, no, no. And that's what I'm thinking myself. I'm like, no, what are you guys doing? It's like, leave him in there. Like, that was such a cool ending to the last one. And then, like, they come and save him. It's like, no.
Yeah.
You know, there's a joke in there about, like, you know, it, like, that I'm sure some comedian will make or has made in the past, I'm sure, about people in horror movies. It's like, the people in horror movies, like, that are not the main characters are the dumbest people ever. And this is just an example of that.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed the last one, you know, but it does seem like they're just doing the same thing over and over.
Yeah, exactly. Correct.
Yeah. So, well, we shall see.
Which is why I'm like, what are we doing?
Yeah. Okay. So, speaking of movies which are coming out, there's one noteworthy one, which we're going to have to wait a little while longer for, and that is Dune. Mm-hmm. Dune was supposed to come out October 1st. It has moved back to October 22nd. The reason being that they're trying to get away from James Bond. You know, mm-hmm. Dune and Bond were both shot on IMAX, whatever that means. It means absolutely nothing. And then they want to both play on the IMAX screens. And, you know, there's they want to have some separation there. So you move Dune up to the October 22nd. And then because of that, they kind of did like a three-way shift of the Warner Brothers release dates. So October 22nd was supposed to be the new Clint Eastwood movie, Cry Macho. That's moved back to September 17th, I believe it is. Okay. And that's when The Many Saints of Newark, the Sopranos prequel, was supposed to come out. So that's moved back to October 1st. So they just kind of like did a...
Okay.
A little three-way trade there, whatever. And, you know, all in this, still in the span of a month. It's not like it's, you know, any sort of major delays, but, you know, I have to wait a little bit longer for Dune, which is, I mean, fine by me. I put up a Twitter poll because October 22nd now is kind of like stacked. It's actually, well, there's five movies coming out. There's Ron Gone Wrong, which is a, like the new movie by the Ice Age people, the cartoon.
Okay.
And but then there's Dune, Last Night in Soho, the Edgar Wright movie, The French Dispatch, the new Wes Anderson movie.
Oh, I won't be saying that one.
There's a lot of people who are looking forward to that movie, so.
Good on them. I'm not one of them.
Good for them. We're talking to you, Lee.
Shout out to Lee.
And then the other movie that's coming out that week is Jackass, Jackass 4. A lot of people looking forward to that, too. So
I'm not one of those either.
I mean, to me, out of those, I mean, Dune, yes, 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 okay, cool, and all that, and Denis Villeneuve and all this, this stuff, but Last Night in Soho,
that's the one
movie. That's definitely the one. That's clearly 100%.
That's the one.
The one to see first. So, whatever. Okay, few other things here and there. Let's go back to let's stay with the artsy stuff for a minute here. Okay, cool. Are you a fan of the Before Sunrise trilogy, the Before trilogy?
Yeah,
yeah, they're great.
I thought those were really good. I was very impressed. I thought that I was going to hate those. Mm-hmm. Like, and I was just like, actually, this is actually really good.
Yeah, I mean, Before Sunrise and Before Sunset in particular. I think Before Sunset, like, one of the best movies ever made, you know?
Yeah.
And I liked Before Midnight, but I had some issues with it, but whatever. Mm. Of course, the big question is, will there be a fourth one? You know, and nobody knows. I mean, you know, people kept on saying, will there be a third one? Will there be a third one? And all the press was like, every time Ethan Hawke or whoever, you know, they were like, will there be a third one? And he's like, I don't know. Maybe, you never know. And then all of a sudden they just come out and they're like, well, there will be a third one. And we shot it last week, you know. So we'll see if there will be a fourth one. But Julie Delpy just gave an interview and she was talking about how frustrated she is working in the film industry because it's so hard to get stuff made. And she said that Richard Linklater asked her to do the fourth one and she turned him down.
Oh.
So what does that mean?
Well, that means you can't do it.
Yeah, there's no fourth movie. Don't do it. So, so that's disappointing. But, you know, I've got these amazing Mondo posters for the Before trilogy where it's got like, it's like three matching posters, you know? Mm-hmm. And each one, like one of them says like Richard Linklater and one of them says Ethan Hawke and one of them says Julie Delpy. And like these things, like I've had them just kind of like sitting there forever and I put them in frames and I was going to hang them up and I'm sitting there and I'm just like looking at all of them thinking how amazing they are. And then I noticed that they spelled Julie Delpy's name wrong. It said Julie.
See, that's why she wants to get out of the business right there. The disrespect.
I know, right? She's so good, but
I agree.
Whatever. Okay. Now let's shift gears and go into some DC stuff, right? Okay. Cameo is a weird thing.
It sure is.
I don't understand it. I do not understand it at all. But people love it, and good for them.
Yeah.
And what's his name? Tom
Welling.
Tom Welling. There you go. He
put some respect on that name.
Yeah. Cheaper by the Dozen.
That's right.
Yeah.
Draft Day.
That was a good movie.
It's a really good movie.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. It's solid. So he.
The Fog. A bad movie. Don't see The Fog.
Yeah, I haven't seen the remake.
It's not good.
I saw the original, and that's not good either, despite what people say. I'm sorry, John Carpenter. I love you, John Carpenter, but I hate The Fog. Sorry.
Yeah.
So he said in one of these cameo things that they are working on a Smallville cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
Let's go.
What does it mean?
Well, it's been a question at a lot of these Smallville panels at conventions in the recent history of these things, right? Like, you know, they'll like, you know, what they'll ask him about, you know, the possibility of coming back to reprise the role or something. And then it's been kicked around. It's like, oh, we, like an animated thing. Like that'd be something he was thinking that could be something that he was into. And I say, hell yeah. Like, why not? Because number one, like it's a win-win for like all the fans, right? Right. Because like if they do a Smallville, you know, animated show, right, that takes place like immediately either like right after the series ended, right, and there's a whole lot of time that we can play with here where he's Clark Kent at Superman, then, you know, all he has to do is just, you know, get on his computer at the very least and just like record some stuff, right? Like he doesn't have to put on a costume, something that Tom was very much against doing in live action, right? So like we get to have, you know, this dude that was Clark Kent for 10 years of our lives, and in particular 10 years of my life, as somebody who watched that show from beginning to end and still talk about that show, shout out to Always Holden Smallville. And it'd be great to, you know, to have that guy be Clark again. And animation, honestly, it gives us the best stuff with the superhero genre. So like, why not? Like Smallville's like, there's a lot of cool things we could play with there. That'd be a good opportunity for some new character designs and continuing a world that people are already familiar with. It's a, you know, it's a win-win situation here.
All right.
And you I think most of the cast would be down for it also.
Well, maybe not everybody, but a lot of the cast, they could probably.
She gets
get
one
back.
Phone call, man. They could set her up with some technology.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, and what's his name? The Lex Luthor guy. I mean, he's obviously
Michael Rosenbaum.
Yeah, he's. I mean, right? He's the voice of the Flash in the cartoon stuff, right?
Yes, he is. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I mean, I did.
That
kind
guy's
of,
down to do anything. So
yeah. I got the impression from watching the cameo thing that it was. I mean, you know, who knows exactly, whatever. But I kind of got the impression this is one of those things where like the cast was like, we should do this, and now they're like trying to convince the powers that be to let them
do it. Yeah.
You know,
but it could be that.
Yeah, we shall see. A project which is definitely in the works now, based on a DC comic, is Madam X. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with this character?
I'm familiar with Madam Xanadu.
Okay, I think that's her.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
So why did they use her? Why did they use her actual name here?
I don't know.
And she plays in the, you know, in the mystic arts realm, right?
Yeah.
Justice League Dark.
Right.
Territory. So my question is like, well, why are we getting her first over Zatanna?
Oh, no, we're not. We're getting Zatanna too. They're working on, this is one of the, and this
is
one
going
of the
to be
things,
attached to it? Because we've talked about a Zatanna thing, haven't we?
Yes. Zatanna, okay. Zatanna is in the, and this is the thing which is interesting about it. So it's being produced by J.J. Abrams, right?
Okay.
Who's also producing a Constantine show, a Zatanna movie, right? And then this, and then also apparently working on a Justice League Dark thing. And these are Justice League Dark people. Like,
okay, well,
he
if that's
must
the case,
be like building up the universe.
That is what
right?
we're doing. Yeah, that's what we're doing then. That's, yeah. Then if that's the case, then yeah. So I guess next would be what? Dead Man?
Yeah.
And then
Spectre in there somewhere.
And then
actually,
what?
That
Swamp
might be
Thing?
Another one. Yeah, Swamp Thing.
Do something better, like do a better version of that. Then I guess that's what we are leading up to then, is Justice League Dark.
So this is going to be on HBO Max, the Madam X. Yeah. And I mean, one of the interesting things about it is the person who's actually going to be doing it is Angela Robinson, who is a writer and director. She did Professor Marston and the Wonder Women, which I never saw.
It's in my queue.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's done like a lot of stuff over the years, directed The L Word and stuff like that. And
that's a good show. Have you watched that show?
I haven't really seen it, you know, bits and pieces,
it's a good show.
But yeah. But she apparently was, this article makes a big deal. This must have been, you know, the sources here must have been Angela Robinson's publicist, but whatever, it doesn't matter. She was apparently handpicked by J.J. Abrams and Katie McGrath, who is J.J. Abrams's well, wife, but also partner at Bad Robot.
Okay. Not the actress Katie McGrath, but
no,
the other Katie McGrath then.
Yes. And apparently, like, McGrath and Robinson are friends from working on the Time's Up stuff. And okay. They handpicked Angela Robinson to do this. And actually, it gets into the fact that, like, she had an overall deal at Paramount where she was doing a Flashdance series, and she's still working on that. And Paramount was trying to get her to stay, but then, you know, JJ threw that Bad Robot money at her, and you know, that's how these things work. But all of this is well and good, and you know, great for Angela Robinson. I'm so happy for her. Aside from the fact that she was working on a Strangers in Paradise movie with Terry Moore, which is something that I've been wanting to see forever because Strangers in Paradise is like my favorite comic of all time, and the idea that, you know, that's probably in limbo now because she's now doing a DC TV show for Bad Robot and HBO Max.
Yep.
I mean, who cares about Strangers in Paradise anymore? I don't know if you remember this, but back in the 90s, they were actually developing a, like this is like right around the time of like the Spawn cartoon and everything like that. They were developing a Strangers in Paradise cartoon for HBO.
Really?
Yeah. It never happened, but you know, whatever.
Dang.
Someday, someone will
turn that into
a movie or TV show, and it'll be great. But until then, we'll have to settle for Madame Max. So, okay. One last thing.
Okay. Here.
They have revealed the writer for Rogue Squadron, the Patty Jenkins Star Wars movie. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be Matthew Robinson, who has done a number of things, you know, here and there, like that new movie Love and Monsters and stuff like that. He's writing a remake of Little Shop of Horrors.
Ooh.
He's doing the sequel
to... Tall Task.
Yeah, it is, yeah. But Little Shop of Horrors itself was a remake, right?
Yeah.
So...
But that 80s Rick Moranis one, man.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I've never seen it. I need to. It's,
bro.
It's on my list. It's on my list. For sure. And he's also doing the Edge of Tomorrow sequel.
Okay.
Live, Die, Repeat, and Repeat. But the one thing which he's written, which I've seen, is Invention of Lying, which was the Ricky Gervais movie. Did you see that?
I did not.
It's really good. I haven't seen it since it came out, but and Gervais I think directed it as well as starred in it. But it was about like this world where it's like an alternate reality where there is no lying, just nobody lies. So that's just the way the world functions. And Ricky Gervais is a guy who just one day he tells a lie, and people are like, what? That doesn't make any sense. And he's like kind of like realizing what he's doing, and then he goes with it, and you know, obviously like it becomes a huge thing because nobody knows that he's lying because there is no such thing. And it goes from there. I don't want to spoil it, but it takes it to some very interesting places. And I think it's really, really good. So it's kind of cool that that guy is doing a Star Wars movie, so we'll see what that's like.
All right.
Well, I think that's pretty much it for this week. Exciting stuff. Transformers, DC. There's always DC news. You know,
there's always DC news. Not all of it's good, though.
I mean, this stuff. I'm okay with this stuff. I just don't like it. What it means for other stuff.
That's fair. That's fair.
Oh, well. But yeah, until next week, Lance, where can people find you on the internet?
They can find me at Sir Lance Laster on all of my social medias. And you can find me over on the United Federation of Podcasts talking about all the things that make Arrow Arrow on Always Hold On to Arrow. And you can find us on Twitter at Do Not Fail Our Pod.
You can find me on Twitter and Letterboxd at Mumbles3K, and you can also find me on my website, filmdamagepod.com, doing a show called Film Damage, which haven't really done recently, but you know, we'll get back to eventually. You can also find me probably in a week or so on TalkFilmSociety.com doing a new episode of Soderbergh 2828 where we talk about his new movie, No Sudden Move, which comes out on Thursday. So that'll be exciting. Yes. But until next week, thanks for listening, and we will talk to you soon.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.